The Splendour of the King. We've just been singing. I wonder what a king looks like in your mind. A few months ago, there was a newspaper headline which said, "The Entrance of a King." And it was referring not to a member of the royal family, but to a heavyweight boxer called Tyson Fury, who the night before had just won a boxing match. And his entry into the ring that night had been on a golden throne, carried by people around him with a crown on his head and a royal cape around him. There was fireworks and smoke machines and music and lights. It was quite an impressive entrance, fit for a king, we might say. In contrast, the reading, as Helen has just read for us, the record in Mark 11 of Jesus entering into Jerusalem seems to be quite different. A man riding a donkey into Jerusalem. In the first century, that would have been not an unusual sight. Maybe hundreds, even thousands of times a day, this would have been happening. But there were two things in this story that made this day and this entry different. And Jesus quite deliberately, I think, makes us very aware of these two things. And Mark records them for us in these verses. I want to think about those two things as we consider what it means to be here today on Palm Sunday, in the midst of the coronavirus pandemic that's affecting every area of our lives. What difference does it make to read this passage today? What difference does it make that this passage is in the Bible as we think about how we too can be those who follow Jesus? And the first thing that makes this entry different is that Jesus arrives riding on a donkey, and that has meaning. In chapter 11 and verse 1 and 2, we're reminded that this journey that Jesus is on has not just begun. This is a journey that Jesus has been on for some time, and he's approaching Jerusalem, he's approaching the end of this journey. Now, Jesus, since back in chapter 8 of Mark's Gospel, Jesus has been talking openly to his followers about what will happen once he arrives in Jerusalem. And it doesn't sound good. They and we should be under no illusions about how this will go. Jesus says in Mark 10 and verse 28, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Jesus knew that entering Jerusalem was a step toward his death. And the details of the first few verses show us what else Jesus knew. He knew that this colt would be tied up there. He knew that this colt would be one that was never ridden. He knew that the owner would challenge them and that they were to respond with those words in verse 3. I wonder, are you encouraged this morning by this reminder that Jesus knows, that God knows all of the small details, that none of the upheaval, the shock of these past few weeks has been surprising to God? Jesus arrives riding on a donkey. And that's unusual for Jesus, because usually he walked everywhere. This is the only place in the Gospels where we read of Jesus riding any animal. Why a donkey now on the way into Jerusalem? And the reason is, as you may have heard before, that in the Old Testament there had been a prophecy in Zechariah which said this: "See, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." And so for Jesus to ride on a donkey was quite deliberately to enter Jerusalem as the king who was promised. What a contrast to a heavyweight boxer entering the ring, to the kings of our world, to the rich and the famous and the powerful, the Caesars and the presidents, the high priests and the CEOs, the governors and the sporting superstars. Today, if we are followers of Jesus, then we're called to reflect on the fact that our King, Jesus, came riding on a donkey, in gentleness and humility, in weakness and vulnerability, not with violence, not with an animal of war, but one of peace, not with power, but with love. He came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. And if you're watching or listening to this service today, and you wouldn't count yourself actually a follower of Jesus, then I'd like to invite you today to consider this claim, the claim of Palm Sunday and the Easter story, that the one who entered Jerusalem on a donkey all those years ago in apparent weakness and with gentle humility, that he is the one who offers us peace in the middle of our turmoil, light in our darkness, hope in our despair, that he came to be with us, for us, among us. And that as we're seeing right now in the bravery and the heroism of our NHS doctors and nurses and physios and OTs and care workers, we're seeing, aren't we, that the way that our society has often valued people is being exposed as broken. We're realising that those footballers and those sports celebrity and actors and even royals are not worth the admiration and adoration that we've too often given them. And into our broken and our hurting world right now, in April 2020, our need isn't for glamour and red carpets and shiny, happy people, but for presence, for comfort, for help. And let's face it, who wants to interrupt the heavyweight swaggering his way to the ring up there on his throne, basking in the limelight? But we could turn to the king riding on the donkey. So Jesus enters the city riding on the donkey. But secondly, the second thing that really is so significant about this story is the way that Jesus is welcomed as a king. We see in verse 8 of the reading, people spread their cloaks on the road. Others spread branches that they'd cut down. And those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David." And that might all sound a little bit strange to us, a little bit odd. We're not very familiar with that sort of practice, with those kinds of words. But actually, we've heard those words already at the start of our service today. They're words from Psalm 118. And Hosanna, it means save us or save now. It's an expression of praise, a welcome, an acclamation. And for me, in our current situation, I think those words take on extra meaning today. Save now. It's a cry of welcome. It's also a cry for help. I don't know how much those crowds truly understood of who Jesus is, his true identity as the Son of God. Many of the voices crying welcome on Palm Sunday are crying crucify on Good Friday. So maybe many didn't truly understand. Maybe they were getting carried away with the crowd, doing some panic welcoming. But I wonder whether our voices calling out praise to God when the sun is shining and faith comes easily, will our voices still be praising when the clouds come and the storm breaks? I wonder this morning at the start of the week leading up to Easter, what we understand today of Jesus. What does following Jesus into this week look like for me, for you? What is my response today to Jesus? In a few moments, we're going to come to the end of this service and we're going to sing this wonderful old hymn together. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. And the fourth verse reads like this: He took my sins and my sorrows. He made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. One of the things I've been struck by this week about the Palm Sunday record in Mark 11 is how little, actually, Jesus speaks. By and large, he allows his actions to do the talking. And we know there's been a lot of controversy in our own situation about words without actions, promises of more testing, promises of more protective equipment, but words without actions are meaningless or worse. Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. He came as king in humility and gentleness to serve and not be served, to take our sins and our sorrows and make them his very own. What will our response be this morning? Maybe simply allowing ourselves to be amazed in the presence of Jesus. And where is Jesus' presence? That's where we come to verse 11. It's an odd verse at the very end of this passage, and it's easy to miss the significance of what this verse says. Verse 11 reads like this: Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple courts. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. God had arrived in Jerusalem. He was welcomed and praised, and there was a celebration. But where will God sleep the night? Where will God stay? In the temple, right? In the building dedicated for worship, in the church? No. Jesus went out of the temple, out of the city, to a village on the outskirts, to be with the 12, his followers. Jesus chose to stay, not in the temple, but with his people. And what an encouraging verse I'm finding that for today. Harborne Baptist Church's building is closed. The doors are locked. The lights are off. Does that mean we can't meet with God? Does that mean that God is not at work? Does it mean that God is silent? No. Jesus is, as he's always been and always will be, with his people. Let's celebrate that truth together. Let's sing, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene.